32. In the white book, number 32.
I claim over every cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That's an interesting expression about the cross, that it will never suffer loss. When we think of that as a win-lose situation, of course it's a win situation. Thank God for the cross. But you also have to think of that word in an investment frame, profit or loss. And I had to think of, for some reason, I went back to my Wall Street days, and we had I worked in a research company where the analysts would pick out companies that had potential. I remember, now this goes way back, I remember when one of the analysts, Joan Berger, who smoked a cigar, she came with this plan. They would have meetings. All these research analysts would have meetings after scouting around. And she came back with this great little company. They make hamburgers. And they're selling franchises. And it's something we've got to keep our eyes on. And it happened to be McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And we all know what happened there. And there was also an incident where someone came with a penny stock. The stock actually cost a penny. And it rose to a dollar. So if you put $1,000 in there, what's that, 100 times 100? It's your profit. But I had to think of that in the case of the investment that we make in our children here and what the return on investment is. We have no idea. And we may not hear from kids, or we may not hear about children. We do, though. The office hears a lot about kids who come home, their first time at camp, and they're totally changed, and the parents are all revved up, and they tell their friends about it, and it's a wonderful thing to hear how God has changed his lives here. And all of you staff, that you are investing in a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I had to think of our brother Eddie, spoken about him. Of course, we can't help but remember him here at camp, because he used to drive up every Thursday. All of a sudden, he'd appear here and thank the staff. But he was one who invested in people, and I can think of several people who are now married who could have fallen through the cracks, but Brother Eddie invested in them and showed them love, encouraged them. And I think it's such a wonderful thing that we can work on staff here. And several years ago, I made the suggestion that our staff picks out one kid on the staff and just prays for him or her. Every time you do a dish, the Lord bless the kid on it that's going to eat from this dish. How important that is, that we grab hold as a staff, grab hold of our ministry here. It's a volunteer, but it's a ministry. And as we invest in these children and adults, how many times we've heard of changes that occur at this place. I know I've told this story several times about a couple. They weren't so young, but their marriage was on the rocks. And they had tried counseling, they had tried everything, but for some reason, and I forget the connection, how they heard about camp, but they arrived at camp and they had been spatting in the car before they came. It was just in a bad situation, and there was no hope for this marriage. They were at their wit's end, and they tell the story. They used to come back every year on their anniversary for many years to thank the Lord. But they arrive one rainy night, and they arrive, and at the time we had two very, very good housekeepers, two Swiss housekeepers, but they were rather gruff. And at that time, you had to bring your sheets, your own sheets. That was the beginning of camp, many, many years ago. And as they arrived and got out of the car, the two housekeepers said to me, "Where are your sheets?" That's how they were greeted at camp. But they tell the story of going to bed that night, and the woman herself, she woke up and she saw the mist rising from the lake. She said her whole spirit lifted. And then they went to meeting, and Brother Gardner, as he was apt to do, he spoke and spoke a word, and they thought that he knew all about them, and he was speaking directly to them, and they were so moved, the both of them. And God met them. God met them in those days, and their marriage was healed. I think there was another meeting that they went to, and again, Brother Gardner was led by the Spirit to preach on just what they needed, and he didn't know their story. He had no idea of the story, but God moved. And I often think of that. And there are other incidents of adults and young people who tell stories of how God meets them at camp. And we have to be careful that we don't get proud, that we don't think, oh, this is a place, this is a wonderful place, and just get proud of what God is doing. But we have to humbly acknowledge that God is here because we want to put Him first, because we want to please Him in all things. We have guidelines here that may seem strange and a little austere, but our endeavor is to please the Lord in all ways. Do our acts merit His favor? No. But He sees our desire to please Him, as He does every one of us. He will meet us as we have that desire. And I'm so thankful that we can have this investment in our children and in the guests and the adults as we serve Him and as we look to Him and know that He is going to change lives and fill with the Holy Spirit and bring us into a closer walk with Himself.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the boys and girls that are here right now that we have opportunity to invest our lives in. By faith, prayer, serving them in different ways. Thank you for the counselors that have been investing themselves in the lives of these children these weeks. And throughout the whole summer, the staff, those who give themselves to camp, those who pray for camp and who recognize there's a great return. Lord, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that you do, the things that you have in store. And we thank you, dear Lord, for the little that we hear and that we see. But Lord, we believe that it goes well beyond even what we could understand or fathom. The things that you do in hearts, the things that you do in souls, the changes that you make, the burdens that you lift, the tangles that you undo. Lord, we thank you for your many wonderful works which are to usward. If they were to be reckoned up in order, they are more than can be numbered. Great is your faithfulness. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll give us the grace that we need to continue to invest. Let us have grace that we might serve you acceptably, with reverence, with godly fear, in the boathouse, as the nurse, in the kitchen, Lord, in housekeeping, in the office, or wherever we find ourselves. And then, Lord, back in our homes and our churches, help us to invest ourselves in the kingdom of God. Dear Lord Jesus, knowing that you are going to do that work. You are going to, as we sow the seed, reap the harvest. And dear Lord, we pray. We pray, as the apostle said, Lord, one sows, one plants, one waters. Lord, we can't bring the increase. We can't do it, but you can. Help us to do our part, our little part for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. in the service of the King. Every talent I will bring, I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. 413. Number 413.
Can bring in the service of the King.
there's nothing that you do in the service of the King that is insignificant or too small, that He can't use it to redound to His honor and to His glory. There is nothing that you can do in the service of the King that is insignificant. Every act, every word, every service, everything that we do, verbal or nonverbal, in the service of the King, He is able to and He does use for His honor and for His glory. And that's why we need to be humble and down at the feet of Jesus, because it's not us and it's not for our honor and it's not for our glory, but it's to the honor and the glory of His name. We serve the Lord Christ. And we can serve ourselves or serve haphazardly or flippantly, and we can do some of the quote-unquote spiritual things that way, and it's not really then in serving the King. We have to be sure that what we're doing by word or by deed is all for His glory, all for His service. If you give a cup of cold water in His name, you know, there's a blessing there, not only for you, but for those who you're serving. And how often the Lord has used, as we've heard, Brother Gardner or others that the Lord has used in ministry, and He's preached and spoken through them, and maybe they've prayed prayers that God has answered as they've served Him. And of course, those are ways that some people serve the King. But there are other ways that God uses and that are very necessary. And as Brother Paul has said, that even serving in the kitchen, it's not always a direct correlation, but how we serve, how we appear before others, whether or not the beauty of Jesus is seen in us. I'm thinking now of a family, and I guess I was reminded of it when Brother Paul was mentioning of this couple that came to camp and they had difficulty in their lives. There was a family in our church many years ago. Their daughter was here. She's not anymore. She wasn't staying on grounds. She's still around the camp someplace or around the vicinity someplace. But they were growing up in Woodhaven. They moved away long ago to Lancaster in Pennsylvania. But while they were living in Woodhaven, they just would go to church every Sunday. The kids would play out on the street. Now you know who they are. Christopher and Rachel and Emily would go play on the street. And the mom and dad would just interact in just very normal ways that a Christian family would interact. You know, not screaming bloody murder in the house, not having it come through the walls, not railing or fighting, but they just seemed to be a loving family. And as that was happening in that community, and well, who cares about that? Nobody's noticing, nobody's watching, nobody's seeing. But there was a lady across the street from them whose marriage was just about shot, and she was in great need. And she saw the way that they lived. She saw something different about them, just in their demeanor, in the way that they carried themselves. And in particular, she said, "I was so impressed that every Sunday morning, your three kids, all dressed up nice with some place to go, and you and your husband, you'd get into the car and you'd drive off. I assumed you were going to church. You'd come home then in the early afternoon." And it was just an impression made upon that woman that when she got to the place where she didn't know what to do anymore and thought maybe the only thing to do would be to kill myself and to end this and get out of this marriage and end my life, which is so horrific, she rang the doorbell of that family and said, "Could you just tell me what it is that I need to do to find happiness, to find joy, to find what you seem to have in your home and in your family?" Now, they never gave them a tract. They never knocked on their door at Christmas and sang Silent Night outside their front door. They never spoke to them. They don't even think they had a bumper sticker on their car that said, "We love Jesus, why don't you?" There was nothing that was evident, nothing that was
seen, but there was something intangible about that life that was magnanimous, that just drew others, not to them, but when we let our light shine before men, they see our good works, as insignificant and small as we may think they are, and then that glorifies our Father who is in heaven. Well, it started the ball rolling, and to make the big long story short, this woman gave her heart to the Lord. She showed up in church one day with them. She gave her heart to the Lord. She still had the same problem at home with her husband. They still hadn't been on the same page and had been married 10 years. And she told me, I married him for all the wrong reasons. I married him because I was lonely. I married him because he had money. I married him for all the wrong reasons. They had a young child in their family, and it didn't still look good as far as their marriage was concerned. But then he began to come with her to church on Sunday mornings. She would sit here. He would sit 6 feet away from her near the other end of the aisle. But they were in the building. And after a little while, maybe it was quite a while, but the Lord began to tug at his heart. And I don't know that it was through the preaching, and I don't know it was through anything in spectacular or special that the Lord did, but he began to see other people. He began to see other couples. He began to recognize, you know what? It doesn't have to be this way with us. But this Jesus, this following him, the change that he makes, what a wonderful change he brings about. And again, people didn't go over to him and say, you know what? Your marriage can be like ours. We love each other. Why don't you? None of that. But they just saw it. They observed it. And after a while, he too gave his heart to the Lord. And the two of them were baptized in water. And then It was just such a joy to me one day when I got called over their home and they said, would you do us a favor? Would you renew our wedding vows after 10 years of marriage? It's this and this the day. And so I was happy to do that for them. And they came to the church that day and she had written a letter, and it was wrapped up like this, and it had a little pretty ribbon around it, and I didn't even know what it was, but they gave one to everybody that came into the church, and I looked at mine, and it just told the story of how we couldn't do this. We couldn't live together. We had no harmony in our homes and in our families. But then we came to Jesus, and we found him. And now after 10 years of struggle and strife, we're making a new beginning. We're putting Christ at the head of our family, or whatever she wrote, a nice letter to that effect. And they since have moved away. They've gone somewhere. I don't know where they've gone. And yet I thank God that through these little ways that we serve the Lord, it's not unnoticed. It's not. Now, we don't think of it really. We don't think of it ever. But that's what Jesus does when he changes us. He just makes us different. We may not even realize how different we are than the world. But thank God, the world can recognize in us that we are different. And they may think it is peculiar. They may think it is a strange phenomenon, and they're weird. But when they really hit the bottom, and when things really go untoward, that weirdness isn't so weird anymore. It's, what could I do to find what you have, what you know, who you know, what change has come into your heart, into your life? And so you never know. You never know through a smile or a handshake. You never know through buying an ice cream or going out to dinner with someone. You never know how Jesus works in a person's life and in a person's heart. And there are many, many such stories, just many such stories of how the Lord has come through different acts and deeds of kindness, of just different ways that we can serve him. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have we come across half a dozen or so? That is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every one of the reasons, or most of the reasons that I could find in the Bible as to why I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit have very practical applications, either to my own life, because I need to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I need to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me so that I can be a channel of blessing. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't need me or we or us. What the world needs is Christ in us and the message that we bring. But what we are speaks a lot louder than what we say. You know the little chorus? What you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk. They're not listening to your talk. They're judging by your actions every day. And so, yeah, a little ditty kids chorus. But when I think of that little ditty kids chorus, what it causes me to say is, Lord, how I need to be filled with your Spirit. Because the world is looking at us. We are living epistles. We're known and we're read by people. They read your life. They don't listen necessarily to your talk. They read your life. Sometimes we shouldn't talk because of the way we live. Follow Jesus like I follow him, and you can be just like me. No, thank you. I got enough problems of my own. We'll both jump together out of the 32nd floor or whatever. Yeah, we need to show forth his glory. Well, how do I do that? I need to be filled with Jesus, with his Spirit. And so, you know, whether we're young or whether we're old or whoever we are, in every station of our lives, there are so many elderly people that are really alone and discouraged and forlorn. And they're recluses in their homes and they never see half of them the light of day. And it destroys them inwardly. And here I'm an old guy and you're an old person or whatever. And maybe our ministry is to them. They need Jesus as much as they need Jesus, as much as their classmates need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness. And so we're dispensers. As Brother Stephen was praying yesterday, we have to be fire catchers before we can be fire dispatchers. We do. We need to catch the fire. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And so I just encourage again, I encourage us all. Lord, fill me with thy Spirit, that I might be a channel, that somebody would see you in me, that you may be glorified through me. Lord, empty myself of me, and then fill me with thee, that I might be the channel that you want me to be, for your glory and for your honor. And so, again, thank God for what he's able to do. Thank God for changed lives at Pilgrim Camp. Thank God for those who make that investment in others' lives so that Jesus can be seen and they can come to the knowledge of the truth. And then as we go from Pilgrim Camp, oh, thank God, he still wants to work in and through us. May he, by his Spirit, work in you and in me. Maybe we should pray together, 120 in our books. That wonderful song, Channels Only, Blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. I think it's 120.